Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chof Amud Aleph, five lines down. Tanur Banan. The Gemara here brings a braita that's somewhat akin to our Mishnah, but adds in an additional deot, which is Eiz Batshnata Vadai LeKohen. An Eiz, a goat in its first year of life. If it gives birth, then the offspring is clearly a Bechor and belongs to the Kohen. Mikan Ulahalan Safek. From there to forward, it is a Safek. Achel Batshtaim. If you have a ewe that is 2 years old, Vadai the Kohen. Then it definitely belongs to the Kohen, because it wouldn't have given birth before that point in time. Mikan Ulahalan Safek. That point forward, it is a Safek. Para Batshalosh. You have a cow that is 3 years old, Vadai the Kohen. Mikan Ulahalan Safek. From there to forward, it is a Safek. Chamura Kipara. A Chamura has the same din as a Para. Now we have an interjection in the middle of this statement, because it's in the Itana that is of a different era. He's younger than Rabbi Shmuel, who's the author of this position. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudo Omer, Chamura Bat Arba Shanim, that the Chamura is differentiated from the Para, whereas the Para is 3 years, the Chamura is 4 years. Adkan Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. This is the position of Rabbi Shmuel that was found in our Mishnah, which we discussed yesterday, which is that an animal in these periods of time will not give birth, according to the Balei HaTosafot, until they reach that threshold. An Eiz, in its first year of life, does not give birth. It will only give birth immediately afterwards, or if it's giving birth then, it's for sure the first time that it's giving birth. And the same with the other thresholds that were mentioned here. Rashi today has a slightly different or nuanced approach to that, which is that if it's giving birth now, it clearly did not give birth before. Means that it's possible that a cow would give birth in its second year. Just if it did give birth in its second year, it definitely wouldn't have given birth again in its third year. So if it's giving birth in its third year, that is the first birth. That's the way Rashi reads it today's daf. Tells about yesterday, as we noted, disagreed with that and said when it says you don't give birth, it means literally that you don't give birth. It means in the first 3 years, there's no chance that it's giving birth. That it's giving birth, it's the first time it's giving birth at this point in time. Again, we noted yesterday the Tosafot in Avodah Zarah, and here the Rosh and our Gemara as well mentions the same thing, which is that they have evidence to the contrary that in their time the cows were giving birth at 2 years, and that brings up the refrain that Tosafot uses and the Rosh here uses it as well, which is Nishtanu Hatevayim, that Teva had changed, and that the animals do give birth earlier in their time than they did in Chazal's time. So these thresholds at least are true for the times of Chazal. In addition, we discussed yesterday that once you cross over the threshold, there is still a Safek that exists and not a Vadai. Even though you would have assumed that Hochim Achara Rov, and in Rov animals, there would have already been a birth that took place. That means anything that comes after this time should have been Vadai Chulin and not a Bechor. And that the Gemara concluded then, Rabbi Shmuel, Ki Rabbi Meir Svirele. Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir, who's Choshesh Lemiut, and that's why over here he worries even after these thresholds of time, the possibility that these animals are only giving birth for the first time, because there's this miut of animals that don't give birth in the requisite threshold period, and therefore we have to be Choshesh Lemiut. And then we had the last possibility that it's even according to the Rabbonon, with a distinction that is found here, but nowhere else in Chas. This idea that if it's talui b'masa, if there's an action involved, then maybe then we're choshesh for the miut, because the action has to trigger the rov. When you have an action that sits between you and the rov, we don't necessarily rely on that action taking place, that maisa taking place, to trigger the rov. That is shita Rabbi Shmuel, which matches what we saw in the Mishnah from Rabbi Shmuel and all the explanations we gave in Rabbi Shmuel yesterday. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yud only adds the additional point that he thinks that a chamura is distinct from a para, in that Rabbi Shmuel says that a para and chamura have the same threshold, which is 3 years. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda just adds that the chamura has a threshold of 4 years instead of 3 years. When this was told over to Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Lehen, he said to them, Su Amru Lo, the Rabbi Yishmael, go and tell Rabbi Shmuel, Taita, you made a mistake. So here we have a similar refrain to what Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah, or responded to Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah, which is that you are right in terms of your empirical numbers, your evidence that is here. The only problem is you skipped one factor that you didn't consider over here, which is, Ilu Bavlad Bilvad Habeima Nifteret, if it was alone, that the animal could no longer have a Bechor when it has a full-fledged fetus viable entity, then Chayak Edverecha, then whatever you said is true. Aval Amru, Siman Avlad Bebehema, Daka Tinuf, Ubegasa Shulya, Ubisha Shvir Vishalya. This is similar to, again, what Rabbi Akiva said in our Mishnah, which is, you're right, if it was just speaking about a real birth that was poter bechora, and that's the only thing that would be considered a bechor, then everything you're saying is true. Happens to be that there's a problem, because miscarriages can disqualify the subsequent birth from being a bechor. And a miscarriage would then have different measurements than a full-fledged birth. And so you're right. It might be that an animal, for instance, an aes, will not give birth twice within that year. If it's giving birth, it's kalia bechor. The only thing is, it might have miscarried before that period of time. If it miscarried before that period of time, and now it's giving birth in its first year, right at the tail end of its first year, then that doesn't mean that you have a bechor here. You're right, it might be the first birth that is a successful birth, but it might be that it's not a bechor because there was a miscarriage that took place beforehand. And here we have the indications of a miscarriage, which are that by behema daka, if there is some sort of residual mucus that sits around the female birthing canal, that's an indication that something happened. Maybe a miscarriage took place. Kasa, shuya, in a larger animal than the placenta, the afterbirth. Ubisha, shvir, is the fetal sac with some form in it. Vishuya, and the afterbirth or placenta. All of those are indications of a birth, quote unquote. Doesn't have to be a live birth or successful birth. It could be a miscarriage, but that would disqualify you from having the next animal be a bechor. That is the Mesorah that Rabbi Yoshua has, and that indicates otherwise to that which Rabbi Yishmael said, and similar to the sentiments that we found in Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Yoshua is Rabbi Yishmael's Rebbe, and it's interesting how he's speaking to him with tremendous respect, that he became almost like a Talmid Chover, because here you have Rabbi Yishmael speaking, and his Rebbe, Rabbi Yoshua, is speaking to him in a manner of kavod, which is just interesting to note. Vani einani omer kein. Then Rabbi Yoshua goes off or digresses and says, that's what I have in Mesora. But I personally feel the following. Ela eiz shetinfa bat shisha. If an eiz has a miscarriage within the 6 months, yolede betok shnata. It can still give birth within the same year. Rachel shetinfa bat shnata. A Rachel that had a miscarriage within its first year, yolede betok shtaim, and give birth within its second year. So Rabbi Yoshua adds on an additional dimension here, which he's speaking about, which is not only is he suggesting that a tinuf could release you from the possibility of bechor, but also he's now saying that there's actually real problems here, because if you have a miscarriage, there's a possibility or a likelihood that the animal will give birth in its first year. So that scenario that you're worried about, I think it can happen, or in reality, there is a chance that such a thing would happen. And we'll explain in the Gemara what's the difference between the Ani Omer versus what he said before that he brought from his Rebbeim. I'm a Rabbi Akiva. Now we finally have Rabbi Akiva, who's also mentioned in our Mishnah. Ani lo bati lidei midazo. I don't get to that conclusion. Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah brought what Rabbi Yoshua just brought, but then he comes to a different conclusion. Rabbi Yeshua subscribes basically to that which Masori has about the miscarriage, and then uses that as the premise for his position. Rabbi Akiva brings that to undermine Rabbi Shmuel, but then Rabbi Akiva gives his position as the following. Ela koshia dua shebichra, anybody where we know that the animal already gave birth, ain't kan the goyin klum, then the goyin gets nothing. Koshia lo bichra, if we don't know that it gave, if we know for certain that it didn't give birth, there is the goyin. Then for sure it goes to the Kohen, because it's a Bechor. Safek, Ya'achel b'mumo, the Baalim. If there is a Safek, then the Baalim eat it, but they have to eat it with Dushat Bechor. The Kohen can't get it, because it's a Motzi Michavero, Alav Araya. That is Rabbi Kiva's view with regards to this Safek. He brings down the possibility in the Mishnah that a miscarriage would discharge the obligation of Bechor afterwards, But then he doesn't use those thresholds as being meaningful. He doesn't use the age of the animal. He doesn't use the time period after which it miscarried. Can it give birth within that framework? None of that, according to Rabbi Akiva, is meaningful in terms of making a determination. If you want to make a determination, it's either you know or you don't know. If you know, then if it gave birth already, there's no bechor. If it didn't give birth already, it is a bechor. If you don't know, it's a safek, and we treat it like a safek. There's no way of garnering that knowledge just from the age of the animal. But Micah Miflegate, what is the argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yoshua? What's the difference of opinion over here? Lema v'tinuf poter kamiflegate. Makes it sound like, from the brayta that we just brought, and similar sentiments that we saw from Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah, that the issue is whether a miscarriage releases you from the problem of bechor. Rabbi Shmuel savar tinuf enu poter. Rabbi Shmuel believes that if you have a miscarriage, that does not release you from the din of bechor, and therefore the offspring that's born afterwards will have kedushat bechor. Rabbi Yeshua savar tinuf poter. And Rabbi Yeshua, who brings that misora, and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah brings a similar misora, that a miscarriage does release you from the kedushat bechor. That miscarriage was the bechor, since it was the bechor. The animal that's born afterwards is not classified as a bechor. Gemara backs away from that and says, if we saw that it miscarried, the kuli alma lo plige detinuf poter. Everybody agrees that that is enough of a reason to discharge the, or release the subsequent animal from being a bechor. The machloket here is whether we worry about tinuf. Do we consider the possibility that there was tinuf beforehand? Rabbi Shmuel savar ain choshishim letinuf. If we don't see any miscarriage or any indications of a miscarriage, then you can assume that the offspring that's born in the first year is the bechor. There's no reason to think that something else happened until this point because we have no evidence of that, and therefore we're not going to be choshish for tinuf. Rabbi Shua Savar, Choshishim the tinuf. And Rabbi Shua says, we worry about tinuf. Or in essence, what Rabbi Shua is saying is, Choshishim the miut, that we worry about the miut of animals that have tinuf. And even though we haven't seen it, we have no evidence of it, you have to worry about the fact that some animals do have a miscarriage. Therefore, that makes this into a safek bechor, rather than a vadai bechor, like Rabbi Shmuel was saying. Velo chayish. Is it really true that Rabbi Ishmael doesn't worry about tinuf? V'ha'amarofa, didn't we just come to a conclusion at the end of yesterday's daf that Rabbi Ishmael's position is premised on Mechavarta Rabbi Ishmael to Rabbi Meir Svirle de Chayish the Miut? The whole premise of Rabbi Ishmael's position as to why it's a safek after 1 year and not a vadai that you're cleared of bechor after that point in time is because Rabbi Ishmael was Choshesh the Miut. And since he was choshesh to miut, even post 1 year, you don't have the robe that gives you the exemption for any animal born afterwards of not being a bechor. And he is choshesh to miut. Gemara says, ki chayish l'chumra. L'kula lo chayish. That's not a problem. Over there, it's the chumra. In a case where you're post 1 year and the aes is giving birth, so there are a minority of goats that give birth after the first year for the first time. The majority have already given birth, and then in all likelihood, that which is being born now is chulin. But there is that minority that haven't given birth. That minority would be the chumra, because then you'd have to treat it like a bechor. There, he is choshesh the miut, like Rabbi Meir. Over here, if you're choshesh the miut, it'll turn out to be a kula. Because over here, if you're choshesh for the miut that had a miscarriage, but we couldn't identify it or we didn't see it, then you're going to release the animal afterwards from being a bechor. And that he doesn't subscribe to. So when it's a choshesh the miut, is when that miut is going to generate a chumra. But if it's going to generate a kula, meaning going from being a vadai bechor to a safek bechor, that he's not going to do. Going from chulin to a safek bechor, there he will be choshesh the miut. So that will explain Rabbi Yishmael's position. And some suggest, ben the kula, ben the chumra, chayish. Whether it's the kula or the chumra, Rabbi Shmuel is choshesh, the miut. V'hocha b'minatefet, v'chozeret, v'yoledet, v'toch shnata, kamiflegei. The machloket here is whether it will miscarry and then be able to have a birth within that 1 year. To Rabbi Shmuel savar, Now, the Tok Shnata over here would then mean, the Tok Shnata means in the first year of the animal's life. Can it have both a miscarriage and a birth in that first year? The Rabbi Shmuel Savar, mitanefet, enu chuzeret, violetet b'tok shnata. If it had a miscarriage, it would not then give birth within the first year of its life. And therefore, maha, midolid, vadai lo tonif. So therefore, if it gave birth now in its first year of life, that's evidence of the fact that there was no tinuf. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, mitanefet, chuzeret, violetet b'tok shnata. That there is this possibility that it miscarried and still gave birth in that first year. Therefore, just because it gave birth at the end of the first year is not evidence of the fact that there wasn't a miscarriage before then, because they could both take place in the same year. Therefore, it's not automatic evidence of the fact that there was no miscarriage over here. First of all, we have to address one issue, which is Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, clearly, according to this Gemara, is Koshesh the Miut, because he's worried about the possibility of Tinuf taking place. In the first explanation that we gave before, we said that Rabbi Yishmael says we're not Koshesh the Miut, and Rabbi Yeshua is Koshesh the Miut, because he says we have to worry, maybe there was a miscarriage, even though we have no evidence of it, maybe there was. That indicates that Rabbi Yeshua believes that we're Koshesh the Miut. We're going to see on the second half of today's daf that Rabbi Yeshua clearly is not Koshesh the Miut. So how is it over here that he's Koshesh the Miut, and over there he's not Koshesh the Miut? Tosafot already asked the question. He says, Bimtomar, Hakamaskina Lekaman, Rabbi Yeshua lo Koshesh the Miut. We have clearly on the second half of today's daf that Rabbi Yeshua does not subscribe to this Koshesh the Miut. Yet over here, he's clearly Koshesh the Miut of that possibility that there might have been a miscarriage that we didn't know about. So how do I reconcile that with Rabbi Yeshua's broader perspective of Ein Koshin the Miut? And then Tosfot even reinforces that and says, Vod, Bahochi, in our case over here, Haigapna Da'ocha, Filo Rabbi Meir Lochais. In our case over here, even Rabbi Meir, who's normally Koshesh the Miut, he would not be Koshesh the Miut in this case. So Rabbi Yeshua is supposedly subscribing to this view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir himself would not have thought that you're Koshesh the Miut over here. Because heichadika ruba v'chazaka, because if you have a rope and a chazaka pointing in a single direction, then have a miut, miut to miuta. This is what I've noted many times, that when Rabbi Meir says he's koshesh to miut, it has to be a significant miut. It can't just be a minority of a minority. We're not koshesh for every little possibility. So if you already have rope and chazaka pointing in your direction, then that's called a miuta de miuta. V'hochaika ruba. The rove are not miscarrying. And there's also a chazoka that it didn't give birth because it's giving birth at the end of its first year. So those two things together should combine to make it into a miuta de miuta. So even Rabbi Meir wouldn't be choshesh. So why is Rabbi Yeshua here choshesh the miut? And yet, he himself doesn't even believe that. It is not a choshesh the miut in other situations. V'yesh lomar. So Tosafot over here first starts out the possibility that we're going to differentiate between, it's not going to be a vadei bechor to be given to the kohen, deika cheskat mimona da'adifa. Because they're opposing that view, you have the chazaka of mamon, which is a motzi mechavero, alav harayat. When you want to take something away from someone, you need evidence of that fact. The difference here is a monetary claim versus the iser aspect of it. So he's koshesh the miut, because over there, there is a robe that's indicating something. The robe would indicate you have to give it to the Kohen. That's a monetary question. And in monetary matters, we are not holchim achar robe. Or in essence, we're choshesh the miut. And because of that, you'll actually have a bifurcated din, which Tosafot later on will come back and say makes this very unlikely. And that's why he doesn't like this explanation, which is that as far as kedushat bechor for the mizbeach, and kedushat bechor in terms of gizan avoda, this will have kedushat bechor because holchim achar harov. That's what Rabbi Yeshua holds. With regards to the monetary claim of the kohen will not be entitled to it because it's a safek bechor because of the fact that ain holchim amamon achar harov. So you'll bifurcate the iser from the mamon. The iser aspect will be triggered because of the robe, and we're going to treat it like a vadai bechor. That means it'll go on the mizbeach and you can't do gizan avoda in it. The monetary claim of the kohen, that is Koshesh the Miut. So that's the first way Tosafot tries to deal with this, which is Koshesh in the Miut is with regards to the issue of mamon, the monetary aspect over here. And that's how he reconciles Rabbi Yeshua in the second half of today's daf, which is about Isur, versus Rabbi Yeshua over here, which is about a monetary claim. And that's where he's koshesh the miyut. Inami, then he brings another possibility, yesh l'chalek ben mamon she'en lo tovim, l'mamon she'yesh lo tovim. That maybe there's a difference between a monetary claim where someone is the claimant and trying to make a claim, versus something where there is no claimant involved. And maybe there's a difference whether choshesh in the miyut or not, has to do with whether there's a claimant involved in the case. But then, he says, the question which I already noted, which is that you have this absurdity that's going to come out. Which means that if you do gizan avoda with this bechor, we're going to give you malkot, because it's a vaday bechor. But you're going to give it to the kohen. How can it be that you're getting malkot for a bechor and treating it like a vaday bechor mitzad isur, but then you don't give it to the kohen and you hang on to it because of the monetary side? He says it leads to a certain amount of absurdity in the din. But therefore, he says near the teretz, the halcha chashin the miut dimitan fo mishum the rov. So then he brings another rove or other assistance that actually elevates the status of the miut over here, which is that we assume that when the animal reaches the point in time where it could become pregnant, then it generally becomes pregnant. This goes somewhat against what we concluded about the masa before, that animals mating is talui b'masa. Over here, it's just an assumption that instinctively, and this is what we discussed yesterday, animals mate at the time that they are capable of mating. Because of that, then we assume that the animal should have been pregnant already. The fact that we don't find a pregnancy and that pregnancy is delayed till later in the year, that already seems to indicate that there was something that took place beforehand. That additional evidence paired with the miut is something that pushes us over the edge. And makes it that this miut is not just a regular miut, but it's a much stronger miut, or maybe even a rove, because of the fact that the animal should have become pregnant at this point in time. The fact that we don't see any offspring is almost circumstantial evidence there must have been a miscarriage, because we would have expected the animal already to be pregnant and have given birth at this point in time. So that's how Tosafot concludes. The Rosh, the Shittim Gubetz, bring B'Shem the Rabbeinu Yonah, that maybe over here it's a little different, which is, that we're not really choshishin the miut, according to Rabbi Yeshua, but choshishin the tinu. And that's somewhat akin to what Tosafot's saying over here, which is, we're not really discussing a miut over here. This is like a super miut. Or this is a miut ha-matsui, which is very different. When we say that Rabbi Yeshua is in choshishin the miut, that's a regular miut. But there's sometimes where you have a miut that's like 49%. That's not an idea that we're choshishin the miut. 49% is a miut ha-matsui. You have a miut of matsui already, that's something that we would be choshesh for. And that might be meduyak out of the lashon of the statement of Rabbi Yeshua, which is, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua sover choshesh in the tinuf. It doesn't say choshesh in the miut, it says choshesh in the tinuf, because tinuf is a particular type of miut that is a very strong miut. And that's how you differentiate it from the case later on, where he says, ain choshesh in the miut, to the case over here where he says choshesh in the tinuf. That's because tinuf is a different type of miut than your regular type of miut. And that'd be another way to deal with it. It's somewhat akin to what Tosafot is saying in the end, that we have some sort of robe or something that's bolstering the miut over here that makes it into a super miut of sorts. And therefore, that's the explanation or the reconciliation of Rabbi Yeshua. That's the first thing to discuss over here. The second thing to discuss over here is in the Ibayit Ema. The Gemara gave two possible answers to the structure of the machloka between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yishmael. The first of which was whether we're choshesh the tinuf or not choshesh the tinuf. That was the first one. And the second one was, ibaitema, ben the kula ben the chumra chayish. Everybody worries about it. They are arguing about this point. The question is, what knowledge do we have? And what information is being given to us at this point? Rashi over here in the ibaitema says, Heicha d'lo yadinan shetinfa bat shisha. Where we don't know that it has had a miscarriage. In the second case, the situation is also a case where we don't know that it was minatefet. We don't know whether it had a miscarriage. In the second case, ibaitema, there we say that Rabbi Shmuel Savar, mitanefet inu chuzeret v'yoledet, betok shnata, which means that when it gives birth again, in its year, then we know for sure there was no tinuf beforehand, because we weren't certain as to whether there was tinuf or not. And the fact that it now gave birth means it definitely didn't miscarry beforehand. Rabbi Yeshua savar, betanefet, chozer v'yoleda v'tok shnata. And Rabbi Yeshua says that is possible, therefore if we don't know, we're still choshesh that tinuf. So according to Rashi, even the second scenario, it's similar to the first scenario. The first scenario said we don't know if there was tinuf or not. And the question was, are we choshesh for it or not choshesh for it? In the second scenario, the Ibaidem, according to Rashi, you have the same problem. We don't know if there was tinuf. The only question is birth evidence of the fact as to whether there was tinuf or not? But Rashi maintains the same perspective that we're dealing with the case of Safek tinuf. On the other hand, the Ramban believes over here that there was a Vadai tinuf over here. We know for sure there was tinuf. The question between them is, when you do have tinuf, can it give birth within that year or not in that year? Meaning that the machloket is really about that, more like the mitziut issue, which is that once it has tinuf, can you get to that point of birth again? And that's what Rabbi Yeshua savar. Midatafet chozer v'yoleda b'tok shnata. Rabbi Yeshua says, even if it gave had a miscarriage, and we know it had a miscarriage, it still could give birth in that year. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael savar, mitanefet eno chozer v'yoleda b'tok shnata. And therefore, if it gives birth here, that what you saw earlier, you thought it was tinuf. You thought it was a miscarriage. But you misread the information. Because the fact that it gives birth now shows you that whatever you looked at before was not a miscarriage. It was tinuf, but not a miscarriage. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, says, you saw tinuf. Tinuf is tinuf. And if it gives birth again, that's not evidence of the fact that there wasn't a miscarriage before. But according to the Ramban, if it actually was a safek, then Rabbi Yeshua would not be choshesh for it. It's only when it's vadai tinuf, and then the question of whether the leida is evidence or not evidence to undermine it, that's what we're discussing over here. But if there was a safek tinuf in this ibaidema, according to the Ramban, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that we're not choshesh for it. That's a fundamental difference between the Ramban and Rashi as to how to read this ibaidema. According to Rashi, you're still in this position of safek tinuf, and their question is, do you have evidence as to whether there was or wasn't tinuf? The Ramban believes that you know for sure there was tinuf over here. The only question is, was it tinuf? And that is evidenced by whether it gives birth or doesn't give birth, and what you think about the possibilities of plausibility of giving birth within the same year of a miscarriage. The last thing to discuss is Rabbi Meir's Shita. From here, the Baal HaTos would say that when we say before that you do it the Kula and not the Chumrah, and then Ibai Dema ben the Kula ben the Chumrah, we are Choshesh the Miut, makes it sound like Choshin the Miut, which is Rabbi Meir's Shita throughout Shas, is a Din D'Oraita. If it's a Din D'Oraita, I understand why you're Choshesh the Kula and the Chumrah. It's only a Din D'Rabbanan, then you'd be only Choshesh the Chumrah, not the Kula. So Tosfot says over here, Mikomakom, ain't the taktik mikan that Rabbi Meir chesh the muta, haino mi d'oraita. Don't come to the conclusion that based on this, that Rabbi Meir's din of chushish the mute is a din d'oraita. The chayish ocha, filu hakel. Rather, the fact that the Gemara here is willing to entertain chushish the mute, even on the kula side. Over here, there's a different issue, which is the chushish in the mute is about a din in mamo. This is what Tosfot said before, that the case here might be a different issue. It's not an issue of isur, it's an issue of mamo. And by mamon, ain't uchim acharov, and therefore, yeah, here we're koshesh the miyot, and maybe the kulo the chumra, because it's a mamon issue. But by yisur, maybe that would not be the case, it would be the rabbanan. Inami. And here's the other big point that Tosfos makes, mishum deika rov, mitabroch, megiot, nizman riyot, itaber, shemisaye the miyot. The same answer that Tosfos gave before, which is you have a rov bolstering the miyot over here, which is rov animals become pregnant at the time that they can become pregnant. And so therefore that also bolsters or certifies that this miut is a significant miut because of the rove that is associated with it. And therefore Tosfot is saying that when do we say choshishin the miut maybe is the uraita? Is it a case where it's not just a miut, it's a miut with some other reinforcing element to it? But if you just were choshish the miut, that would only be a din derabona. And then Tosfot concludes later on, miut, heicha de chazoka, Misayet the miut, near the chayish Rabbi Meir the miuta d'oraita. So similar along the lines of what he's saying here with the rove, he says when you have a chazaka that bolsters the miut, over there Rabbi Meir might be choshesh the miut midoraita. But in other places where Rabbi Meir says choshesh the miut, he brings evidence from the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, where we see his main opinion with regards to the cheeses of Beton Gyonke, that it was a gzera atu. It was a gzera because we're choshesh for situations of Avodah Zarah. So you see there that his question in the miut is all about a gzeira. And he brings a number of places in Shas where it's clear that Rabbi Meir seemingly feels that question in the miut is only a gzeira and not me'ikar ad-din. And he says the places where you do see it's me'ikar ad-din, that's because there's a chazoka bolstering the miut. In those situations, then it might be a din d'oraita, according to Rabbi Meir. Anyway, it's just an aside about Rabbi Meir's shita or question in the miut, that most of the time question in the miut is a din d'rabbanan. There are select locations where it's d'oraita. That's only when there's a chazaka bolstering it. In our instance, it might be that because there's a robe bolstering it, or because it's a din in mamon, that takes on a different nature in terms of question in the miut over here. But generally, question in the miut is only a din d'rabbanan, which would mean, by definition, you only go to chumrah and not the kula. Now, the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Yoshua's statement, which he says, Varni eni omer kein. I don't subscribe necessarily to what my Rebbeim or the Masor that I have. An age that miscarried in the 6 month, Yoledet tok shnata, gives birth within its year. Rachel shetinfa bat shnata, a ewe that had a miscarriage within its year, Yoledet betok shtayim, can give birth in its second year. Ma'ika ben gamrei lisvare. So here the Gemara wants to understand that Rabbi Yeshua makes two statements in the Braita. One statement in the name of his Rebbeim, which is akin to what Rabbi Akiva brings in the Mishnah, which is that these thresholds are very nice, but there's a different tour that could discharge or release you from the din of Bechor, which is a miscarriage. That's his Gamrei, that's his Mesorah. And then the Svarei is the Svara. He says, Ani, Eni Omerkein. I don't agree with you for a different reason, which is the fact that I think you could miscarry and then have a birth in the same year. So what's the difference? In essence, they're saying the same thing. His Mesorah is saying you could have a miscarriage. His Svara is saying, well, you could have a miscarriage and a birth. Aren't they saying the same thing? What is the nafka mina between these two statements? My answer is, Shetinfa Sof Shisha. Vika Benayu Diziri. The case where it had a miscarriage at the end of the 6 month. And the Sof Shisha could either mean the last day of the 6 month, or it could also mean the first day of the 7th month. Again, that will play out more in detail in tomorrow's daf. And the difference between them is this position of Ze'iri. Damar Ze'iri, Ein Tinuf Pachot Ishloshim Yom. A miscarriage lasts for no less than 30 days. Not that the miscarriage necessarily has to persist for 30 days, but an animal that has a miscarriage will not allow itself to be mounted for a minimum of 30 days. You know, that once you have a miscarriage, the recovery period for that miscarriage is a minimum of 30 days. So the Gamrei, according to the Mesorah, it laid the Ze'iri. He has or subscribes to Ze'iri. Lisvarei, according to his Zvora, late laid the Ze'iri. He does not hold of Ze'iri. So that's one way to explain the Machloket. Rashi over here explains that Ve'eched Chazina de Lo Tanif Ad Sof Shisha or Betok Shisha. In a case where we saw there was no miscarriage, we're certain there was no miscarriage until now, until the end of the 6th month. How b'chor ma'al yahu? Then for sure it's a b'chor. Da'u tinuf, lav tinuf gamurhu. That can't be real miscarriage. Dim tinuf haya, lo v'yolda b'tok shnata. There'd be no way it could give birth within that year. Ad yom echad b'shana shniyah. Until one day into its second year. Because the miscarriage extends for the duration of the 7th month, like Ze'iri. Because we said, Sof Shisha, the end of the 6th month is when the miscarriage took place. So at the end of the 6th month, there's a miscarriage. That means that takes you to the end of the 7th month before it can become pregnant. And as we had discussed already earlier in the Masechta, for a behemataka, gestation is 5 months. So now you're at the end of the 7th month, and now you need 5 months of gestation. And the gestation period has to be full months. There's no 4.5 months. It's 5 months. Completion of 7 months plus 5 months gives you a completion of 12 months. That means it gives birth afterwards. Rashi brings evidence from the Gemara Nidah, the fact that the Gemara there has a gematria that the gestation for a woman is 270 days, which is 9 months. But that means that the woman gives birth 9 months and 1 day. The day after the completion of the gestation period is when she gives birth. And similarly over here, the period after the gestation is when it gives birth. So then, according to his Misora from his Rebbeim, and they hold like Zairi in this situation, then you have a case where if we know for certain there was no Tinuf until the end of the 6th month, at the end of the 6th month it has a miscarriage, then it gets pregnant again, that Tinuf, or the duration of that Tinuf, had to be 30 days. That means you're already at the end of the 7th month. At the end of the 7th month, then you have 5 months of gestation. That equals 12 months. That animal will only give birth the day after those 12 months. That means you're already in the 2nd year of the Aes's life. If the Aes gave birth in the 1st year, already evidence that the Tinuf, or the, whatever you saw, was not a miscarriage. Because there'd be no possibility or plausibility, according to his Rebbeim, according to his Misora, that you would have given birth within that 12-month period if it had a miscarriage at the end of the 6th month. That's the Gamre. The Nafkamina between that and his position is that you can give birth. Vesvarei, even though we saw there was a miscarriage at the end of the 6th month, there's still a possibility of it giving birth within the year, because he doesn't hold of Ziri. He doesn't think you need a full 30 days before it becomes pregnant again. And that'll be the difference between these two positions as to whether there is a possibility of a birth within a year if it is that the miscarriage took place at the end of the 6 months. Now, how do you know that that's the difference, or where's the diuk from? So what Rashi says is because in the statement that he makes, it says, what is the bat shisha coming to teach you? It means at the end of the 6 months. That's what bat shisha teaches you. Others suggest that the diuk is from the gamre, from his Rebbeim, who say that it must be that if it's born within the year, that it wasn't a miscarriage. If it gave birth, then that's evidence of tinuf that took place at the end of the 6 months, that it wasn't tinuf. Because that would be the case that shows you or demonstrates to you that whatever you saw wasn't a miscarriage. Because had it been a miscarriage, it wouldn't have given birth now. So where is that threshold which would tell you that? That's at the end of the 6 months. Those are the ways that we know that that's the nafkamina between them. Ibai Dema, now it offers the Gemara a different possibility as to what their machloket is, which is that Kulei Alma Idluhu Ziri. Both his Svara and his Gamre and his Misora subscribe to Ziri of 30 days. Unlike what Rashi said before, that gestation has to be full months, their machloket is whether that is true. Maybe animals can give birth in gestation where you don't go to full months. The Gamre, according to his Misora, Lo Amrina Yoledet, the Mukutaim, you need full 5 months of gestation. If you have less than that, it won't give birth before then. Therefore, if it gave birth in its 1st year, that's evidence of the fact that whatever happened at the end of the 6th month was clearly not a miscarriage. Had it been a miscarriage at the end of the 6th month, then you'd have to wait 30 days to the end of the 7th month. 5 months for gestation, that brings you to 12 months. It wouldn't give birth to the next day. That would be the 2nd year of its life. The fact that it gave birth in the 1st year shows you that whatever you saw was not a miscarriage. The Svare, according to the Svare, you'll let it the Mukutayim. You don't have to have full 5 months. You can even have less than 5 months, or similar to what the Gemara sees by human beings, you don't have to reach a full 9 month gestation. You can have some things that are early births that take place, and so too. That's what Rabbi Yoshua is saying in his Svara, that, yes, Eino Hanami, at the end of 6 months, you need 30 days, and it's the end of the 7th month. But then you need 5 months of gestation. Maybe it was 4.5 months of gestation when it gave birth out. That doesn't undermine the fact that there might have been a miscarriage at the end of the 6 months. Vibaitema. Lo amrina yoledet limukutayim. We don't say that it gives birth prematurely, meaning that it has to go to full gestation. Their argument about whether mixatayom kikulo works over here. The svare amrina mixatayom kikulo. According to the svare, you have mixatayom kikulo, which means if it miscarried at the end of 6 months, 30 days for ziri means it can become pregnant at the end of the 7th month. 5 months of gestation has to go full 5 months. You're at the end of your 1st year of life. On that last day of the 1st year of your life, mixa yom kikulo. So then halfway through the day, you already finished the gestation. Then it's already as if it's the next day. And since it's as if it's the next day, when it gives birth, then that birth is still considered to be within the 1st year. And therefore, it's not evidence of the fact that whatever you saw before wasn't a miscarriage. According to the Chachamim, who don't say mixa yom kikulo, when it gives birth on that last day of the 12 months, it's clear whatever you saw before wasn't a miscarriage because you couldn't have a birth. You need 30 days plus you need 5 months then it shouldn't give birth the next day. It gave birth today. That's already evidence of the fact that whatever you saw before was not a miscarriage. Or the mikzvah dayom kekulo could mean that at the 30-day point of Zeiri, which is that it had a miscarriage, and then you need 30 days of Zeiri. Do you need a full 30 days? Or the 30th day, can you say mikzvah dayom kekulo? And then already, halfway through that day, they'll become pregnant. If that's true, then the 5 months of term would end a day before the end of the year, and then the birth would be at the last day of the year, which would be possible, according to this, if you say mikzvah dayom kekulo. According to his svara, you would subscribe to mikzvah dayom kekulo. The gamrei, according to his mesora, lo amrina mikzvah dayom kekulo, and therefore, if it gave birth within the year, it's clearly evidence of the fact that whatever you saw before was not a miscarriage. Now, over here, again, the explanations of his opinion are premised on what we said before. Rashi, again, said before that we're dealing with a situation where we don't know if there was tinuf. And that's the question at hand, was when we don't know if there's tinuf, is the birth evidence of the fact that there was or wasn't tinuf before? And Rashi reads the whole sugya in that way. The Rambanu believes that we had badai tinuf over here. The case where we definitely saw tinuf. The only question is, what we saw, was it really a miscarriage? Or was it just evidence of a miscarriage, but it's really not a miscarriage because this disproves it? So they will carry their position about the Ibayit Eima all the way through all of these cases here as to whether there was badai tinuf, or is it just that we don't know? And the question is, if we don't know, does the birth give you evidence of the fact that whether we're choshesh or not choshesh to miyot, which is Rashi's view? Or the Ramban's view is, once you have tinuf, now you have this evidence that's contrary to the tinuf. Does that undermine it or not undermine the tinuf that we saw before? Right, so that's the explanation here of this difference between Rabbi Yeshua's Masora, which he uses to reject Rabbi Yishmael, versus his own personal opinion, his logic, which he also disagrees with Rabbi Yishmael's position. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani lo bati lidei midazo, ela koshi adua. So Rabbi Akiva definitely disagrees with Rabbi Yishmael. The only question is, why does he not agree with Rabbi Yeshua, or what's the difference between him and Rabbi Yeshua? In the Mishnah, he quotes the same issue that Rabbi Yeshua quotes in our Braita. My Ika ben Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Yeshua. What's the napkamina between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua? Amar Rabbi Chanina Misura, Chalav Poter Ika Benayu. Whether a nursing animal is evidence of the fact that it gave birth, that is the machloki between them. Rabbi Akiva Savar Chalav Poter. You see a nursing animal, Haleich Achar Rov Ve'emot. You go after a majority of animals, and the majority of animals are not nursing or not giving milk unless they gave birth. The birth is the trigger for the fact that they are producing milk. Rabbi Shua Savar, Ha'ika Miyuta de Cholvot. You still have a miyut that do give milk, Afapisha and Yodot, even though they didn't give birth. So now, the Gemara here seems to be in concert with what we saw from Rabbi Yeshua before, that Rabbi Shua is Choshesh, the miyut. But the problem is, Umichayish Rabbi Yeshua the miyut. This is what we discussed in the Bali Tosafot in the previous Amud. Rabbi Yeshua is not Choshesh the miyut. That's not. We have a Mishnah. Haitala chamut or chamuta enu Choshesheth. If a woman went overseas with her husband and she has a mother-in-law who she left behind, at this point in time, she has no brother-in-laws. Her husband has no brothers that were born. She goes overseas, her husband passes away. Does she have to worry about the fact that her mother-in-law now had a child, and now she has a din of yibum to that brother that was born after she left? He says, "Eino chosheshet." We don't worry about that. Because she wasn't pregnant when we left, and we look at the status quo. The status quo was that she didn't have any brothers-in-law. Now when her husband passes away, she can assume that she is released or a free woman. Yatsa mele'a chosheshet. Now then, when she left, her mother-in-law was pregnant. So we don't know what happened after she left, but we know that her mother-in-law was pregnant. Over there, the Tanakhama says, Choshesheth, we worry about that. And now she has to worry about the fact that she might be chayevet in Yibum. Rabbi Yeshua Meir, Eino Choshesheth. This is Rabbi Yeshua we're after. Says, we're not Choshesh for that. V'amin in my time under Rabbi Yeshua. Why does Rabbi Yeshua say we don't worry about it? She left a pregnant mother-in-law. There's a good possibility that she has a problem of Yibum. Kasavar. This is the logic. Rov mu'barot yoldot. Majority of women who are pregnant give birth to a viable entity. Umiut mapilot. There's a minority that miscarry or have some problem with the pregnancy that you don't end up with a live birth or you don't end up with a viable entity. Chol yoldot And when it comes to any woman who's giving birth, mechsa zecharim u'mechsa nekevot. It's a 50-50 shot, whether you had a male or a female. Smoch mi'uta de mepilot. If you then take the minority of women that miscarry, and then you add that to the mechsa de nekevot, 50% of the offspring or live successful births are females. That makes the males the miut. In the context of a person that would make her chayevet in Yibum, that is a miut of chances because it's only a male live offspring that would have done that. That's a miut. You have a 50% shot of an akeba. You add to that the chance that she miscarried, then the majority of outcomes are outcomes that would not make her chayevet in Yibum. Ule miuta lo chayshinan. And we don't worry about miut. So here's strong evidence of the fact that Rabbi Yeshua is not choshesh the miut. So that, first of all, brings us to a problem over here about our explanation of the positions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua as to what their machloket is. But also presents us a problem which we discussed in the previous amud, which is the Gemara there clearly concludes that Rabbi Yeshua is choshesh the miut. Over here it says he's not choshesh the miut. Ela epuch. Flip their positions around. So Rabbi Yeshua is not choshesh the miut. And Rabbi Akiva is choshesh demiut. Or in essence, Rabbi Akiva says that if you have a cow that is milking, then that's not evidence necessarily of the fact that it gave birth. Whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, that is good evidence of the fact that it gave birth. Vatanya, here Atanya is binichuta. We have a braita that shows that that flipping of their positions is right. Chalav puter, divi Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says that it's nursing or it's giving milk. That's evidence of the fact that it gave birth. Give a mer, chalav, eno puter. Chalav is not successful or sufficient evidence of the fact because he's choshesh for the miut of animals that give milk even though they haven't given birth. So that's now the explanation for the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, even though, again, Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah brings the same misora that Rabbi Yeshua brought, but this is the nafkamina between them. The diuk seems to be from in the first case where we say Rabbi Akiva says that the chalav is poter, then that really is a subset of what Rabbi Akiva said, koshi yadua shebichra, ain't kan the goyen klum, which seems to be a simple statement. So now that statement subsumes within it that the chalav, if it is giving milk, that is also poter, and that's the diuk that we make out of it. In the end, when we flip the position, then the diuk is only when we know for sure that it gave birth is it patur, but in a case where it's giving milk, it wouldn't be patur. So the diuk is out of that statement, which seems to be a simple statement. That simple statement either has to include something or exclude something. Or you have to say, so when he says safek in the braita, that safek is what triggers us to believe that Rabbi Akiva believes that there is another safek out there. Instead of Rabbi Akiva speaking about tinuf, he says it's safek generically, then that safek must subsume within it another safek, which is the safek of the cholevet, which is what we're discussing over here. He didn't say tinuf, because that's what he could have said in this case. Could have said a miscarriage, or a safek about a miscarriage. He doesn't say that. He says safek, generically. So what we're medayek out of Rabbi Akiva's position is, there is another safek that has impact over here. But that's born out of Rabbi Akiva's language that he uses in the previous braita. Over here, you can see in the Tosafot, it's an extremely large Tosafot over here, trying to discuss what we just did, which was flip Rabbi Akiva over to the side of Rabbi Meir, and say that Rabbi Akiva is choshesh the miut, and generally we have a principle that halacha Rabbi Akiva may chaveiro. Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva when he's up against one counterparty. Over here, it's Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Yeshua. That should indicate that we are choshesh in the miut. And here, posok Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam is posok over here, the chalav inu puter. Chalav is not successful at releasing you from the din of Bechora. Because the Gemara later on is going to say that when you buy a behemah that is nursing, that it's Ptura min Bechora, Delo Merachma Elim Kein Yalda. It doesn't nurse Elim Kein gave birth. Aval mitam chalav lachud lo miftera. What he makes the diuk is that the Gemara later on says if you have a nursing mother, it clearly gave birth. What he says is that there are two pieces of evidence over there. One is that it's giving milk. Number two is that it allows an offspring to nurse from it. Those two pieces of evidence make it clear that it gave birth already. Because the Gemara says, "Dolo merachma," it would not nurse in the game it gave birth. Whether it's its own offspring or any other offspring, wouldn't allow for such thing to happen. Elohim came and gave birth. What you see is you need another piece of evidence. The chalav itself would not have been enough. It's not enough that it's giving milk. That's not enough evidence. You need milk, and you need the evidence that it's nursing. Those two together then give you the strength to say that there is no bechor afterwards. So from there, Rabbi Avinu Tam is midayek, that chalav ain't no poter. Like Rabbi Akiva says over here, milking itself, or the giving of milk, is not enough evidence of the fact that there was a birth that took place over here. But nevertheless, umitokach matartek Rabbi Avinu Tam, tohacha hilchoto, v'chashinon lemiuta, that we are choshesh lemiuta. That's what Rabbi Akiva says here. But he makes one correlate. Heichadika chazoka ba'adah. It's only true when there's a chazakah along with it. Vafilo lo kaimalon ke Rabbi Meir. Even we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir in general about choshesh in the miut. When there's a miut paired with a chazakah, mitam smoch miuta the chazakah lahachmir miut chashinon. In cases where you have a chazakah together with the miut, there we are choshesh for it. Vahacha ika chazakah. Tehemet beima bechezkat shelo yalada. Put the behema in a position, the chazaka, that it has yet to give birth. The samoch miut the cholevet, and then you add to that the miut of the milk. Avo b'sheino yodo the chazaka. That's why we're choshesh over here. So he says the reason that we're choshesh the miut over here is not because we're choshesh in the miut in general. It's because here the miut is paired with a chazaka, and the miut paired with the chazaka is something that we are choshesh for. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam comes to that conclusion, and first of all, we paskin that choshesh in the miut when there's a chazaka along with it. And number two is that the case here is a case of miut with chazaka. And that's why Rabbi Kiva's position could be the halacha, which is because, not that we're choshesh in the miut, not because halacha to Rabbi Kiva may chaveiro, but because over here you have the additional evidence of a chazaka that is paired with the miut that's taking place over here. Again, you could undermine this for a number of reasons, one of which is that when we say Aloha Rabbi Kiva Mechabero, that's Mechabero, below me Rabbo. Rabbi Yeshua is his Rebbe. And therefore, when he's arguing on Rabbi Yeshua, maybe that's not a case where we're going to say the Aloha is like Rabbi Kiva. So you could eliminate the problem in that way and say that even though we say Choshin the Miut over here, the Aloha may not be like that because it's Rabbi Kiva against his Rebbe, not Rabbi Kiva against his Chabero. So that'd be one way to get out of it. And not use the perspective of the Rabbeinu Tam. The other way to get out of it is say that the miut over here is different. It's not a regular case of miut. It's a case of miut with chazaka. And that, Rabbeinu Tam says, we do say we're choshesh in the miut, even if we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir in general. In a case of miut plus chazaka, we are choshesh for it. And therefore then, Rabbi Akiva's position over here, because Rabbeinu Tam believes there is a chazaka along with the miut, is similar to that genre. And that's why we'd be choshesh for the miut over here. But that does what spends a lot more time going through many different cases in Shas about whether we are or not choshesh the miut and whether there's a chazaka in each one of those instances which should support our contention. Or there's a chazaka and we don't paskin like it, so it doesn't support our contention. He goes through all the different cases trying to show that this position of the Rabbeinu Tam is able to answer or to deal with all the situations that we bump into in Shas. All right, now, Tana Banan. G'diya shielda shalosh banot. You have a female goat that gave birth to three daughters. Mikol benotea yaldu shalosh shalosh. And each of her daughters gave birth to three each. Kulan nechnasot ledir lihitaser. All of them can enter into the corral in order to be chayav in maser. So what's clear here is you don't have any bechor. That's because they're all females. So the bechor would be patur mina maser. So here we're dealing with all females, so that's not an issue. But you have here, within a single year, you're able to have two generations of birth that are all end up in the corral together. The assumption right now, based on the numbers we're going to see in a second, is that the mother is not going into the corral. So you have the three daughters that are going into the corral. Those three daughters, along with their offspring, which is three daughters each, so you have nine of the second generation, plus three of the first generation, you have 12 animals. So we exceed the number 10, and therefore they're going to go into the corral to have maaser taken from them. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ani reiti she isra b'toch shnata. Rabbi Shimon says, I saw such a case, and I saw them taking off maaser b'toch shnata. The question will have to be, how is Rabbi Shimon differentiated from the Tanakama? Lama le demitne shalosh shalosh. Why do you have to have their offspring be 3-3, meaning that there'll be 9 in the second generation? Tolid chad minei utzlat. Have one of them have 3, b'inach tarte tarte. And the other 2 will have 2 each, which is what I already noted. You have 12 animals over here. You have the 3 daughters, plus each of their 3 offspring. That's 9 plus 3 is 12. You have 2 excess. So why not have the case be 3 daughters, 2 of them gave birth to 2, 1 gave birth to 3, then you have exactly 10. Why do you need 3, 3, and 3? But it says, I did the ika chada de lo sagi velo shalosh. Since one of those daughters had to give birth to 3, tanakulu de yaldu shalosh shalosh. He just made it parallel and said all 3 of them gave birth to 3. Ain't no Konami, you could have done it that way, but just for ease, again, of memorization, remembering this, he just said all of them gave birth to 3. Balamali le mitne shalosh klau. Why do I need 3 at all? Leldu kulu tarte. Why don't we have each one of them give birth to 2? If each of the 3 daughters gave birth to 2, that's a total of 6, plus the 3 daughters is 9. V'tahader ihi v'tolid v'hadehen. And then the mother will also give birth alongside of them, and that'll give you your number 10. So you have 6 at the second generation, 3 from the first generation, that's 9. And the mother who gave birth to those 3 daughters will give birth again within that same year, and then you'll have 10. Lema kasavar. Must be that they hold mitanefet eno chozeret yoledet b'toch shnata. Maybe we have to assume that if you had a miscarriage in that year, they do not give birth again. Imtim salomar mitanefet chozeret yoledet b'toch shnata. And even if you want to say that a miscarriage can have another birth in that year, yoledet vaday eno chozeret yoledet b'toch shnata. If it gave birth in that year, it can definitely not give birth again in that same year. So the Gemara first proposes, okay, let's say there was a miscarriage. After a miscarriage, you can't give birth in that same year. But over here, we're not dealing with a miscarriage. We're dealing with a birth. So even if you believe that you can have a miscarriage and still give birth in that same year, which goes back to the nafkamina between Rabbi Yoshua's Mesora and Rabbi Yeshua's Svara, nevertheless, over here, you're dealing with a Yoledet. It gave birth. Maybe when it gives birth, everybody agrees you can't give birth again in the same year. What you're pointing out is that the word toshnata over here has a different meaning than it did before. And that's what Rashi points out over here. The toshnata that we spoke about until this point in time was the first year of life of that animal. From the time it was born until the time it gives birth, there's only one birthing in that year of its life. So then if you count from the day it was born, if you had a miscarriage along the way, can it give birth still within the first year of its life? Or an AIDS only gives birth once in its first year of life. That means from the moment it was born till that end of its first year. That's the Tokshnata. Tokshnata that we're mentioning over here, according to this, is within the first year after it gave birth. It's not the first year of the life of the mother. The mother could be 3 years old now, and she gave birth. Can she give birth again within that year that she gave birth? It's nothing to do with her age. It has to do with the possibility that can she give birth again within that same year. Over here, you have a situation in which the animal can give birth, and then, subsequent to giving birth, can it then again give birth within that year. Now, the Gemara will continue to discuss this in tomorrow's daf, and then there are going to be multiple explanations of this Gemara. We're going to see Rashi brings interpretations, the Rebbeinu Gershom brings his interpretation. So I'm trying to stay simple now, because until we delve into it in tomorrow's daf, we won't be able to reflect back on what we just read now. For simplicity's sake now, what we're suggesting is that the Gemara says the reason that it didn't give you the scenario as a case where each of the daughters gave birth to 2, and now you have 6, and then you have the 3 daughters is 9, plus the mother gave birth again, is evidence of the fact that within 1 year, not from its birth, but within 1 year in its life, it will not give birth twice in the same year. It'll give birth once a year, and since it only gives birth once a year, there's no way the mother is going to give birth again within that year. Generically speaking, and again, we'll have to clarify this tomorrow, an animal takes a month after it's born to get pregnant, and then it has 5 months of carrying gestation. That gets you to 6 months. Then it has to wait another 30 days before it'll be allowed to be mounted male. That gets you to the end of 7 months. And then you have another 5 months of gestation, and it gives birth the day after the gestation would already put you into the next year of its life. And so because of that, you have a situation here where there's no way it can give birth twice in the same year. Because you always need 30 days, 5 months of gestation, 30 days, 5 months of gestation. That's 12 months. That means that the second birth will not be within the same year as the first birth. And therefore, they cannot be in the same Meiser year, as you're pointing out. And that's why the Braita brings the example of a case where each one of them gave birth to three, because then you have, within the daughters and granddaughters, sufficient to be in the same Meiser year. That is plausible, because that is a case where the mother gave birth to the three daughters. The three daughters themselves can give birth during that year, first year of their life. They can give birth. That's not an issue. And therefore, you can now have sufficient numbers of animals within that year that go into the Meiser box. The reason that he used the Gdiyah, as Rashi points out, is because it's common for goats to have multiple births. So now that this is not true of other animals, just they brought the case of a Gdi because they're more likely to have multiple births. And therefore, that scenario is more likely under those circumstances. So now, there's a lot more to say about this case, but we're going to leave that for tomorrow's daf, where the Gemara then plumbs the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanna Kamma, and then we have to go through the other possible explanations over here. I kept it as simple as possible with Rashi, which is the Tokshnata here. It's different than the Tokshnata before, which means not in the first year of its life, but within 1 year of its life, it can't give birth twice. And for that reason, you also have now a situation in which the mother cannot give birth again, and it all has to come from the daughters and granddaughters to make up the 10 that you need for the maaser. Okay, we're going to stop here, but the two dots on the top of Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph.